You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
After winning around 8% of the votes over the weekend, the ACT Party is set to bring 10 MPs into Parliament, the most in the party's history. In 1999, the party won 9 seats, but in recent history, it has been a one-person party. I spoke to Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden about the ACT Party's success and what is next for her as an MP. I started by asking her what she thought contributed to this unprecedented victory.
This is a really exciting time for the ACT Party. I mean, we've grown from one MP now to 10 MPs. And I think really what it is that throughout the Epidemic Response Committee in particular, so many people were wanting someone in Parliament to stand up and ask the government hard questions and hold them to account on what the government was actually doing for an economic recovery and for a health response to COVID-19. And David Seymour was that person. And I think the questions that he was asking resonated across the country, which is why we've seen a surge in our support. But not only that, throughout the last 3 years in the last parliamentary term, we had the ACT Party standing up on a position of principle on the End of Life Choice Act. You know, David Seymour actually turned down a ministerial position on a basis of principle to keep passing the End of Life Choice Act. And I think a lot of people see the courage that that takes and also the conviction and genuine need to have honest conversations about policy that would make New Zealand a better place. And not only did he stand up on his principles for an issue that so many New Zealanders care about, he also stood against 119 other people when it came to issues that other New Zealanders cared about too. And I think throughout that whole three-year cycle, just being genuine and steadfast and standing up for your values and values that New Zealanders care about, I think has made the shift for the ACT Party.
I guess what's going to be really interesting about this is how do you feel about being part of a party that has for so long been a one-man show with David Seymour? And how are you going to adapt this to being more of a team front?
Oh, look, it's a really exciting opportunity. And I think one of the things I'm really looking forward to is actually when we get back into a real parliamentary environment and starting to debate the ideas, because I've met all of our top 10 candidates, or now MPs, over these last couple of months, and I really, really am excited to get to work with them. And we all came down yesterday to Parliament, and it was such a positive environment. And, you know, we've got in our top 10 7 small business owners. So they'll be bringing those genuine questions from the small business community to Parliament about what is this government going to be doing for the next 3 years in terms of legislation that might actually cause more costs for small businesses. But not only that, we've just got such a diverse range of people. We've got, for example, number 8, who's a farmer from Northland, giving that real genuine rural spokesperson role to Parliament that we haven't seen for quite a while. So I think we've got a real range of talent. And most importantly, although we've got all of our different individual backgrounds and skills, we're all bound together by that sense of personal responsibility and the values that underpin the ACT Party. So no matter what subject that we'll be debating in the next 3 years, we're all going to be bound by that collective responsibility.
Yeah, and that is something that former United Future leader Peter Dunn has issued like a friendly warning to new MPs. He says that the biggest surprise will be kind of realising that it's not necessarily these individual talents that MPs are prized for, but for having to just, you know, represent the team brand. How do you feel like that transition is going to be?
Oh, look, I think that's going to be quite straightforward, really, because ultimately every issue that the ACT Party will be putting up or debating in Parliament this term will be why has New Zealanders voted for us to be here. So I think it's really important to kind of always reflect on the people that put you in this position to begin with. And one of those really strong points is making sure that we're going back out into the community and talking to the people that voted for ACT in the first place. And so one of the first things that we're going to be doing over the next 4 weeks is actually doing a thank you tour and going back out into the community and saying, thank you so much for your support. How do you want us to represent you?
Well, on that topic of that team approach and that group mentality, I just wondered, is that somehow kind of at odds with the individualistic libertarian ethos?
I can see how you're coming to that. No, I don't think so. So all of us, although we've got our individual backgrounds and areas that we really care about, are all bound together by a sense that the government should be limited and that we should be putting in place laws that actually make New Zealand a better place for everyone instead of taking away people's rights. So there's always fundamental principles that we can collectively come back on.
I know there's been a lot of talk and a lot of theorising about where these voters came from, a lot of people saying they're coming from previous National or New Zealand First. Do you have any kind of a take on that?
Yeah, I think people are coming from all areas of society. I saw a poll that came out a few weeks ago and it said 10% of our new voters had come over from the Māori Party. And I suggest that that's probably a sense of tēnā ranga, tiritanga, of that self-determination, which is also, you know, aligned with the ACT Party's values. But also on the issue that our party has been campaigning for a really long time, which is the issues of charter schools, which had a huge impact on Māori kids' lives. And so I think there is an alignment between our parties there. There's been some people that have come over from the Labour Party, and I think that's specific to, you know, the areas of free speech, but also actually wanting to have honest conversations about things that Labour in the last term said that they wanted to do but never did, things like housing reform and things like transforming the mental health sector. So those are areas where ACT has had some really honest conversations, and I think people genuinely want us to progress those ideas.
I think it is safe to say, though, that probably a large number did come from the already sort of right camps of National. And I was wondering, how much do you think National's poor performance this electoral cycle played into it? You know, do you think it was a case of people voting for ACT, or were they just not voting for National?
No, I think people were voting for ACT, because the thing here is that nobody owns votes. You know, every person in New Zealand has the same, you know, one vote per person, and they can choose where to send that vote. So no party owns a vote. And if a person wants to support a party and their principles or their what they're going to progress over the next few years, I think that is a genuine vote for a party versus a vote against. But certainly I think the fundamental problem that National had in the last couple of months definitely didn't help with kind of their leaks and the members who left. So I think we have been a sense of stability, but also being very clear about what our focus is going to be.
Just lastly, I guess, what is ACT going to do in the next 3 years to ensure that this remarkable result isn't a one-off and that it does carry on into the next election?
Oh, well, we'll be making sure to always go back to why have the people given us this support, and not taking that for granted. You know, the worst thing to happen would be for people to say that they're going to do one thing and then completely do the opposite once they're in power. So it's very apparent to us that not only do we need to be a party of opposition and holding whoever forms this next government to account, whether that's Labour and the Greens as a formal coalition or just Labour by themselves, but also putting forward proposition. So we need to be making sure that we're not only asking the hard questions, but giving a real solution as an alternative. And so I think if we get that right, then not only can we maintain our support, but I think we can grow it.
That was Brooke Van Velden, Deputy Leader of the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.